It's simply sometimes just learning how to ask if somebody needs help. It's not easy for you to ask your buddy or your friend or your, you know, whatever the scenario is. Can I help? Should we get your guns out of your house? You know, are you safe? You know, it's just, obviously that's a tough question to ask somebody if you think they're struggling. And sometimes they're just looking for somebody to reach out, and we're learning more and more about that. And so it's been a wonderful part of our commitment at SIG to make sure that we're giving back as much as we possibly can to these efforts. And for me personally, it just something, these things are in our day jobs. It's sort of like you don't have time for this, but then how can you not make time for it? And that's sort of the way that I look at it, and we look at it here at SIG.
Hi there, and welcome in to a brand new week on Celebrity Salute. Dedicated to the men and women who serve our country in active duty, our veterans, and their families. We're here for you. God bless you. We love you. On each episode, we look for people and stories with some connection to these heroes. I'm Randy Miller. Hey, this is going to be a fun segment because, I mean, Tom Taylor is here. He's the CMO and EVP of sales for a small company. I don't even know how to describe how large a company that we're talking about. For Sig Sauer. I mean, Sig Sauer is one of these iconic companies that has been around forever. Obviously, one of the, if not the biggest, firearms manufacturer in the world, and supplies so much to the United States military. And so it's a perfect fit. It's a perfect place for them to be on this program. Tom, thank you so much for taking the time, man.
And I'm so glad to be here. Appreciate you inviting me on today.
Oh, this is great. This is, Sig Sauer has been around so long. It's almost, you don't even think about it. I don't even think about it as just being just one company. I mean, it's been around. Did it really start out as a Swiss wagon factory?
It did. In fact, I was just there 2 weeks ago for the first time in 9 years at Sig. And I'd not visited our facilities in Switzerland yet, oddly enough. And it was interesting to see that the original SIG, Swiss Industrial Group, which started out with wagons, they evolved into train cars, and then they bid on the Swiss military contract. And there's a whole manufacturing complex right above the Rhine River in Rhine Falls or Schaffhausen, Switzerland. It's just a gigantic industrial park that was formerly all one group called Swiss Industrial Group. And that was 1853 when that organization started. And I got to see the museum there with the original bell from the facility dated 1853. And then the other side of the company, J.P. Sauer & Son, is actually the second oldest firearms entity that's still operating. Beretta is, everybody usually knows that's the oldest.
Sure.
But J.P. Sauer & Son was formed in 1751 in Germany. So, you know, you have the Sauer side of the company was 1751 and the Sig side of the company was 1853. And so over the years, it evolved into Blauser and Sauer and Mauser and a number of other organizations. Our current ownership group owns about 17 brands under the Eleno Management Group, which owns Sig Sauer. So it's a fascinating history. And then, you know, the last 20 years has obviously been a bit of a different history for what is now Sig Sauer in the U.S.
But they had nothing to do with the Swiss Army knife.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, I saw a lot of those in Switzerland. But some of the products here might be akin to a Swiss Army knife.
You're right. Right.
Not associated.
So the two big brands, I mean, the most popular handgun in America, the P365 and the P320. How long have those been around?
So the P320 had its origins in 14 is really when the product launched, 2014. And then it was growing on a nice clip until, you know, 2018 when it won the M17, M18 modular handgun contract. And, you know, since then we've shipped over 500,000 of those to the U.S. military, all branches of the U.S. military. So, you know, that was, of all these military contracts that we've been fortunate to win over the last few years, that was really the one that started the modern SIG. You can go back a little further, you know, and you can see that the 226s that were largely made in Germany during those, the bulk of those contract years, which was the 226 MK25, which served the Navy SEALs mm-hmm. for about 20 years. And then the 229 or M11A1, as it's called in the military vernacular, was a contract award to the U.S. Air Force. So there was definitely some lineage there, but the MCX rifle started being adopted by the special operators in the U.S., the SEALs and others around 2016-17. But the first formal award was that handgun contract in 2018 with the M17 M18.
And Tom, how long have you been at SIG?
March was 9 years here.
Okay. All right.
So before that, I was 5 years at Mossberg and 5 years at Smith & Wesson. So about 20, almost a little over 20 years now total.
Safe to say you know your guns.
A little bit. Yeah, I've been around a little bit and I've got a, you know what? It's been a blessing to be able to be associated with three incredible brands like that.
Yeah.
All historic. Ironically, Smith & Wesson was formed in 1852. And SIG was formed in 1853. So, you know, two different continents, but, you know, similar founding dates. And so it's been Mossberg was 1919. And I worked there for Ivor Mossberg, fourth generation family company. So I've been really blessed to be able to touch some incredible brands, and being a history buff, as we talked about off air a little bit, it's been a really fun ride to be able to be associated with such iconic historic brands.
Yeah. And you know, you talk about supplying the military, and one thing I know about doing this show is that whatever you shoot in the military, that's what you want to shoot when you get out of the military, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons when we, you know, we had to get the P320 ready for the U.S. Army, and we had to make decisions about costing and investment and all the money. And in those years, SIG wasn't as big. You mentioned earlier, we are the largest firearms company in the world now, but in those years we were still behind the Rugers and the Smiths and different companies like that. And so, you know, a lot of decision making went into the spending the money that you have to spend well before you make any money on one of these military contracts. And you know, we determined that was one of the driving factors is you know, once you win one of those contracts, and you know, whether it's 10 20 30 years in service, everybody that comes out hopefully trust that gun. I mean, the Beretta, I know, sold millions of handguns based on their M9, M92. And so, you know, that was an incredible opportunity for us to start making those kinds of decisions. And if you fast forward to today, a soldier who comes out of the military, let's say 3 years from now, will have had a SIG handgun, a SIG rifle, a SIG machine gun, SIG ammunition, a SIG suppressor, a SIG optic.
Wow.
Potentially a SIG medium machine gun, potentially a remote weapon station that our only acquisition was acquiring a remote weapon station company. So they're going to be surrounded from a small arms basis with SIG Sauer product. And so when those service members come out, you know, a few years from now, the only small arm they will know is a SIG Sauer. And it's a great source of pride for us, but it also is building future consumers is our hope.
Yeah, we're talking, of course, to Tom here on the National Defense. Tom Taylor, the CMO and EVP of sales for SIG Sauer, but also chairman and CEO of HAVA. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because what a great organization this is, honored Americans, veterans afield. And, you know, there are sprinklings of these groups around the country, Tom, that are local, that take veterans out, hunting, fishing, shooting, all these kind of things that they bond together. And really, you know, we talk about this on the show all the time, the prevention and the treatment of PTSD and veteran suicides. And that's one thing that has absolutely been proven, that if you get veterans together in an activity like that, man, it just makes a world of difference. And now you guys just did that, right?
Yeah. That's something that's obviously just a incredible passion point for me. My father served in the 8th Army Air Corps in World War II. My brother served in the Big Red One in Vietnam. I did not serve. And so this has been sort of a way that a number of us in the industry in 2007, when I was with Smith & Wesson, decided to take four disabled veterans out of the Intrepid Center out of San Antonio on a hunt in Texas. And we all kind of looked at each other and said, there's something special here, and this industry needs to do more. And so we decided to form this organization in 2007, Honored American Veterans Afield. And the sole purpose was really to put something together for the outdoor industry, the firearms industry. And now we have about 30 sustaining sponsors. We have another three or four dozen sponsors at various levels. So if you look at it holistically, there's 50 or 60 outdoor industry companies that support this organization. And over the years of HAVA's existence since 2007, we've taken over 20,000 disabled vets hunting. Wow. Range days. We like to include, we have family range days. We think family involvement is very important. We've had family retreats. We've even had some of the events evolve into off-road events with one of our sponsors, Yamaha Outdoors, equine events, archery, anything that gets veterans out. We've gotten involved with sailing. We partner with an organization called Skeleton Crew Adventures.
Oh, that's cool.
Sailing is extremely therapeutic for those struggling right. with mental illness and suicidal thoughts, that sort of stuff. So the spider web of things that it's led to, and it, both with HAVA and for me personally, over the last couple of years, I've personally gotten involved with a number of organizations that are involved in suicide prevention. That problem is, you know, you think the further away
it's ridiculous.
The more we get, the less impact it would have, but that's not true. No. It's actually increasing at an alarming rate. And so myself, Sig Sauer, we've gotten very involved in that, those efforts. And, you know, personally, it's important to me as a company for Sig. 1/3 of our employees are veterans, which is a
yeah, I read that. That's incredible.
Yeah, we have,
but it makes so much sense. Employees.
Yeah, it's and then a lot of those employees will tell you it's sort of their way of continuing service because of what we do here. Right. Our CEO served in the Israeli military. He's got two sons that are in conflict as we speak. They're both special forces in Israel and for the IDS, and they're doing that. So it's more than just, you know, our sort of philanthropic duty. It's sure. near and dear to a lot of people's hearts here, and so every way that we can be involved, whether it's just having therapeutic stuff to help veterans heal and move on with their lives, whether it's mental, in a lot of cases physical, a lot of people, you know, sure. that are dealing with physical injuries. But then also this issue of trying to make sure we're doing everything we can to contribute to suicide prevention, suicide awareness. And a lot of it is just training soldiers. A wonderful initiative that I've just recently, and Sig has just recently gotten involved with, called Overwatch Project, is actually going to military bases preemptively, doing suicide prevention and having a little fun along the way with some Sig shooting matches has been great. But it's simply sometimes just learning how to ask if somebody needs help. It's not easy right. for you to ask your buddy or your friend or your, you know, whatever the scenario is. Can I help? Should we get your guns out of your house? You know, are you safe? You know, it's just, obviously that's a tough question to ask mm-hmm. somebody if you think they're struggling. And sometimes they're just looking for somebody to reach out, and we're learning more and more about that. And so it's been a wonderful part of our commitment at Sig to make sure that we're giving back as much as we possibly can to these efforts. And for me personally, it's just something, these things are in our day jobs. It's sort of like you don't have time for this, but then how can you not make time for yeah. it? And that's sort of the way that I look at it, and we look at it here at Sig.
That's fantastic. What a fantastic initiative. And it just sounds like that's kind of in Sig's DNA to do that. And especially with 1/3 of the workforce being veterans, that's incredible. Tom, I want to find out, you know, you're kind of the guy behind the curtain at Sig. You know, you've been there long enough now to see product development and those kind of things. Got to be pretty exciting to see what's coming down the pike for Sig, right?
Yeah. We have nothing new coming at all. We decided to shut it down.
Just going to rest on your laurels for a while.
Yeah, we're good. No, it is fascinating. And, you know, I've referenced them a couple of times, but, you know, yes, I've been a part to a lot of really cool things in my 9 years. But I mean, if you want to look at the most like idealistic sort of moment in time, when our current owners who bought the company in 2000 took over, and what is Sig Sauer today was, I'd mentioned 17 companies. This was the company they didn't want. It was called Sig Arms at the time. It was an American distribution arm. It was a $40 million company losing $8 million a year. And so it was not a desired part of the company. And the sale of SIG Arms, which is now SIG Sauer today, was a throw in to the deal for one Deutschmark. So pretty good investment for them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't easy because in those next 4 years, they went through five CEOs of SIG Arms. And then in 2004, that was a benchmark moment in the company's history because they met this guy who was at Kimber as the president of Kimber Arms at the time and brought 1911 as the Kimber. So he's already had one sort of evolutionary phase of his career. And that's Ron Cohen. He came here in 2004 and saw a broken company and asked the owners if they'd just get out of his way and let him do what he wanted to do. And what did they have to lose? It was a worthless company at the time. And so Ron began to make at first subtle changes. And then he began to essentially make a few products, a few parts of guns, 226s, 229s, and so forth here in the U.S. to try to save money. He thought if he could make slides here, which he knew how to do from his days at Kimber, he could save some money because that's the most expensive part of a gun. And then that led to the next part and the next part. And then fast forward to today, the German facilities are closed. All the guns are made in America. So Ron's been the CEO here for 20 years. So he oversaw that first evolution, which resulted in the 320, the MCX, the MPX, optics, ammo, suppressors, air guns, all in about an 18-month period, which a lot of people would tell you is lunacy to try to launch that many products. And so he got to that point. I got here about that time, and my first project here was the Legion series, which was a lot of fun to be involved in.
Yeah, what's been
our benchmark, not only guns, but really loyal SIG enthusiasts. We have about 180,000 Legion members.
Wow!
And you had to buy the gun to be in the club.
180,000.
So, yes, sir.
Wow!
Is overwhelming to think that it's the original forecast of this expensive 226 and 229 was that we'd sell about 3,000 to 5,000 a year, and it's been hundreds of times greater than that. So literally, so that was a lot of fun. But when I first got here, Ron and myself and our head of law enforcement were sitting around talking, and we said, "What's the big gap?" And we said, "A pocket pistol." And so I tell that story to say, you know, that was one of the first things when we all said, "Yeah, we really need a pocket pistol." But one thing Ron has never believed in is just a Me Too product. So we said, "Okay, what can we do to make it different?" And our head of LE and myself almost at the same time said capacity. I mean, that's the big gap of pocket pistols today. And that was really the birthing of the idea of the P365 we launched that project about 2 years later. We launched a 365 with its 10-round magazine. And, you know, so to watch that project be birthed sitting at our 4th of July company picnic.
Yeah, right, right.
Literally on a bench, and then have it a couple of years later come to market.
Wow.
You know, and then the 365 has become the best-selling gun in America. It changed the game for concealed carry. And now with our Rex Macro, it's even 17-round magazine. It's essentially evolved into pretty much a full-size capable gun in a really small package. But sitting here watching the cross rifle, you know, the M7 rifle, the machine gun, the hybrid ammunition, all those projects come down the pipeline and then come to fruition. And then, you know, same thing's going on today. You know, we have some innovations that you'll see over the next 18 to 24 months that we think, once again, will be game changers in the commercial market. So if you watch the evolution, those first several years were, you know, as I mentioned, the 320, the 365, the MCX, the MPX, and so on, cross bolt action rifle. And then there's a little bit of a lull right now in new products for the commercial market because we invested so much engineering resource in the M7, the M250, light machine gun, the medium machine gun, the hybrid ammunition, the reduced backflow suppressor. So we have over 400 engineers at SIG, which is one in nine employees here is an engineer, whether it's design, manufacturing, or quality. And that's more than the top five companies in the gun industry combined. So much of those resources went against these military products that helped us win the NGSW award. And so now that those are very mature and being fielded, those resources are being turned back to the commercial market. And so we have two or three projects that we're working on across a couple of different categories that you'll see some more game-changing stuff. So to your point, it really is fun to sit behind the curtains and watch these things. And You know, we try to guard against visitors sometimes because our CEO sometimes loves to talk about him early. And
right.
We kid him about that he can't keep us. He's the worst secret keeper in the world. But it is interesting to be part of that and see a company that is usually setting the trend. Not to say that there aren't a lot of really, really good gun companies out there that they do really well. But, you know, I think that's one of the reasons SIG's been successful is Ron refuses to accept I'm just going to make what they make a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that it's doing something that's truly different and unique and enhances the quality of the user experience so much greater. I mean, one of the gap fillers between our innovation and the Army stuff and more commercial innovation as an example of not only gun innovation, but really program innovation is the ROSE project. I don't know if you followed our...
No, what is the ROSE
project? ROSE. So this is a project that was for women. And we have the best female shooter on the planet.
Yeah. Okay.
Lena Michalik is Jerry Michalik's daughter. She was the greatest male shooter in history. She's the greatest female shooter. And she's only, I think she's 29 now. And a couple of years ago, she's basically said, look, I've won world championships. I've done this. I've done that. I mean, she's one of literally the greatest female shooters to ever live. She said, I want to impact women in a different way. And so do you mind if I compete less? So we said, of course, let's see what that looks like. And so a couple of years later, we launched the P365 ROSE, which is a black P365, but it has rose gold accents. So women seem to love this. They don't like pink guns. Usually they like normal guns, but we found this little accent of rose gold on the trigger and some of the controls. But also we sold it in a nice kit that comes with a safe that matches the gun. It's a Vol-Tec safe. It's black with rose gold accents. It has dummy rounds and a black lace bag. So women who may be new to it has a mag loader. They can learn to load their gun, learn to safely unload. But maybe the most important piece of innovation inside that beautiful black box that this kit comes in is a card with a QR code. It's a picture of Lena. It says, welcome to the ROSE program. Wherever you are in your firearms journey, we're here to help you. And there's a QR code. And there's over 25 videos on that QR code, everything from,
oh, wow,
I've never touched a gun before, where do I start, all the way up to I'm pulling my shots left, what am I doing, you know, and stuff like that. She goes in and she does, how do I disassemble my gun? How do I go into a gun store and you know, feel like I'm not being treated like, mm-hmm, you know, a fool? And
sure.
So she's done so many videos. And so we're just past a year within that program. And in our first year, we sold about 50,000 of those ROSE kits.
Oh, wow.
With the gun.
Wow.
Which, you know, it's hard to be relative to the numbers, but that's a big number.
Yeah.
The kit costs $1,000.
Well, that's got to be the most, or one of the biggest growing sectors that you've seen, huh, Tom? In terms
huge.
Of
that's why we did it. I mean, yeah. I think women, what we learned, and the great part about this working with Lena on this project is we assigned a woman project manager, product manager, supply chain manager, marketing people. So at times, all the people in the room were women. And
that's
and
pretty cool.
Said, you know, basically, if they needed expertise from men in the organization, of course, they'd be involved. But those developmental meetings with Lena were all women, so that it was sort of for the women, by the women, you know,
right,
all that.
Right.
And so, and it worked. And so maybe the most impressive statistic of selling 50,000 of the gun sets with the safe and everything was the fact that there's about 25,000 women that are on like the ROSE Facebook page. So half the women,
wow,
that purchase this product,
wow,
theoretically could be some women that didn't buy the gun that are on the Facebook group, but theoretically half the women that bought a gun joined a community and they communicate. We just finished our third event. It's called a ROSE retreat.
Hmm.
And 30 women paid a lot of money to go to Boca Raton, Florida and spend 3 days bonding together with Lena, everything from sharing their reasons why they felt it was important to be there. And some of those stories are,
oh yeah,
incredible as to why they want to be there, all the way up to a concealed carry fashion show where Lena and some of our vendors help women understand,
yeah, it's cool,
how to carry, where to carry. Cause you know, they're a woman carrying is different than a man carrying.
Sure.
And so, so that's just an example. The Legion program, 180,000 strong. The ROSE community, which is amazing. Shoot SIG is our sort of entry level competitive shooting program I alluded to that we took to Fort Cavazos a few weeks ago to make sure that if you don't know where to start in competitive shooting, you got to go buy equipment and you got to spend all days, you know, at the competitions and things like that. Shoot SIG is something where you can, you don't have to have a holster. If you don't have your own gun, you can even shoot our product. You can make a tee time reservations, sort of to put it sort of in layman's terms. Mm-hmm. You can reserve a time. So it's only about an hour and a half commitment to go shoot three stages. So we have another product that was sort of soft launched recently at the NRA show in Dallas coming up in May. We'll be doing a hard launch of something called SIG Connect. Hmm. It's an app that has community, it has entertainment, it has training videos from SIG Academy, but most importantly, it has all kinds of targets that will give you feedback right back to your phone. Basically, you can have paper targets that can be used with your phone where you just basically focus your phone on your target, gives you immediate feedback on your shooting, your time, your groups. There's metal targets that do the same thing. There's cardboard targets that do the same thing. So it's essentially a way for shooters to come together and experience something. It keeps up with your history, keeps up with how many rounds you've shot. You can play fantasy shooting leagues with people around the country.
That's cool.
It's like fantasy football or whatever. So it's not just innovating new guns, which we do fairly well. It's also innovating more ways for people to go out and shoot and more ways for
and,
people
and
to
that community is so important. I mean, Tom, it strikes me. So Ford is a partner with us, and I love it when the guy who runs the Ford archives comes on and just talks about Mustangs. I mean, it's kind of the same situation at SIG, I would imagine, where people aren't just kind of loyal. I mean, they are passionate, and they want to tell everybody they can, and they form clubs, and they're doing all of that stuff, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's the ones that we've kickstarted ourselves, like Legion and Rose and so forth, but the SIG forums, the SIG owners clubs, I mean, those kinds of things have been around. Actually, a lot of those organizations have been around longer than the sort of recent popularity of SIG. You know, they've been around.
Sure,
the
sure.
People that love SIGs all the way back to the German manufactured products are super passionate. You know, there's big debates about the German guns versus the American-made guns kinds of things. But it is. It's a very unique community, and the gun industry as a whole is a very loyal community. It's a bunch of like-minded people, and. Right. In the industry, you know, we compete by day, but we have to sort of lock arms, you know, at night, so to speak, and help support the Second Amendment. And so it's a unusually collaborative industry.
Sure.
We there are some companies we like more than others, but we lock arms with Smith & Wesson and Ruger and Glock and, you know, all the different Federal, Winchester, you know, all the different companies. We work really closely together to make sure that the industry remains strong. We're obviously targeted a lot by some of our political areas. It's very unfortunate, but
well, the other thing I know about veterans, Tom, is that they've got their own opinions, and I know you got your own engineers, but how many times do you get an email, a letter from a veteran that says, "Let me tell you how to make your gun. Let me tell you how to improve your gun."
I got one today, as a matter of fact. It was actually an optic idea, but it was still it was still a veteran who's, you know, they served, and they said, if it just did this.
Right.
You know, and we look at that. I read it. I forwarded it to the president of our optics division for him to take a look at. So, you know, we try to take those seriously, but it's an opinionated group. I tell you, the Army did something that was brilliant in these last few contracts. Basically, they now have soldier touch points, they call it. So throughout the process, they're touching base. They find ways to bring rank and file soldiers into the process to ask their opinion. Because before it was sort of like, here's your gun or whatever piece of equipment, and you will love it, soldier. But I think more recently, there's definitely been this element of soldier touch points, and it's phenomenal because it gives our engineers and our military team that liaises between our engineers and what the Army contracts say they want. And it gives those people a chance to go onto military facilities, into testing facilities, and get with, like I said, rank and file soldiers to say, what do you think of this? What could be better? And I think there's been a lot of great outcomes from that. When you look at the M17, M18, that was our first experience with it. But certainly on the M7 rifle and the M250 machine gun, all those things, I mean, the amount of input we got from soldiers, you know, what do you like? Well, there's not enough lethality. Well, right. What do you dislike? They're too heavy, you know? So lethal guns equals heavy guns. And so while the M7 is heavier than an M4, it also has the ballistic capability of a 300 Win Mag in a rifle that weighs about 2 pounds more than than an M4. And so the lethality went up exponentially. But then you go to the light machine gun and it only weighs 13 or 14 pounds versus a saw that was 18 pounds.
Yeah.
And then you go all the way up to a 240 and you're talking about what, 27, 28 pounds. So that, let's just round up and say 14 pound gun has more lethality than a 27 pound 240. And it's funny when we hand that gun to machine gunners who are more mature or retired,
right?
Their usual response is curse words because all the years they spent walking around with those heavier guns.
Right.
Now the fact that you got a machine gun and a rifle that shoots our 6.8 hybrid round, which is essentially a most layman's terms, a 308 with a rocket booster cap on the end of it.
Wow.
Turns that 308 size bullet into a, essentially a 300 Win Mag. I mean, I don't know how many people can see this on video, but that is a steel cap on the end of a bullet. And that little steel cap enables us to turn this up to about 3,000 feet per second.
Wow.
And takes a smaller projectile, but turns it into a much more ballistically capable round.
Man, what a fascinating discussion, Tom. Thank you so much. Man, Sig Sauer, are you kidding me? You know, we've had a lot of great companies that support veterans in the military on this program. I don't think we've ever talked to anybody at any company that is so involved with the military and with veterans like Sig Sauer. I just want to thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Thank you for the HAVA group. Thank you for a third of your workforce are veterans. I mean, it's, and thank you, of course, for supplying our military with the exact type of thing they need to protect us. So, Tom, thank you so much for your time. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.